certainly acknowledge the need of the Lord's help tonight. I would like to share with you a promise that God made the children of Israel in Exodus chapter 33. Exodus 33 and 1, the Lord said unto Moses, Depart and go up hence, thou and the people which thou hast brought up out of the land of Egypt, unto the land which I swear unto Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, saying unto thy seed, will I give it. The Lord promised a land flowing with milk and honey. Perhaps that created a beautiful picture in their minds, a place where they would never suffer hunger again. Unto a land flowing with milk and honey. But yet when we read the history of the children of Israel, we find that there were times that they were facing starvation. Have you ever wondered why that is? Let's take a look at 2 Kings chapter 6. Second Kings chapter 6 and verse 24. It came to pass after this that Ben-Hadad, king of Syria, gathered all his host and went up and besieged Samaria. And there was a great famine in Samaria, and behold, they besieged it until an ass's head was sold for 80 pieces of silver, and the fourth part of a cab of dove's dung for 5 pieces of silver. Now, this was the land flowing with milk and honey. And perhaps there was some food out there somewhere. But the problem was the enemy was all around. And the children of Israel were hemmed in. A land of plenty, but somehow they couldn't get out to where the food was. So they began selling food like the head of a donkey. Doesn't sound very appetizing to me. And the droppings of doves, that went for silver. People were getting desperate, weren't they?
Yeah.
And you know, the enemy of people's souls today has them hemmed in. God has provided plenty of nourishment, every spiritual grace that we need, but the enemy of men's souls has them to where they're on starvation rations and to where they can't get that good, nourishing food from the land flowing with milk and honey. Verse 26, And as the king of Israel was passing by upon the wall, there cried a woman unto him, saying, Help, my lord, O king. Well, the king was probably hungry too, wasn't he? And here's this woman crying for help. And he said, If the Lord do not help thee, whence shall I help thee? Out of the barnyard floor, or out of the winepress? And the king said unto her, What aileth thee? And she answered, This woman said unto me, Give thy son, that we may eat him today. And we will eat my son tomorrow. So we boiled my son and did eat him, and I said unto her on the next day, Give thy son that we may eat him. And she hath hid her son. You know, probably what struck this king wasn't that the woman was hungry. He already knew that. It was probably that it was her son that she willingly boiled to eat. And the fact that the justice she was seeking from for the king wasn't anything to do with the fact that she had killed and eaten her child. It was the fact that she couldn't eat someone else's child. That struck the king to the heart. These people were starving. And God had promised them a land flowing with milk and honey. People get in desperate situations, don't they?
Yes.
They get to a place in life where they would do just about anything when they are starving. And it came to pass when the king heard the words of the woman that he rent his clothes. And he passed by upon the wall, and the people look, and behold, he had sackcloth within upon his flesh. A serious situation.
Yes, man.
Let's move on to chapter 7. Then Elisha said, "Hear ye the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord, tomorrow about this time shall a measure of fine flour be sold for a shekel, and two measures of barley for a shekel in the gate of Samaria." Good food for a reasonable price. Then a Lord on whose hand the king leaned answered the man of God and said, "Behold, if the Lord would make windows in heaven, might this thing be?" And he said, "Behold, thou shalt see it with thine eyes, but shalt not eat thereof." You are going to see a land of plenty. You are going to see people that are getting ready to be filled with abundance and still be in the ranks of the starved. Isn't that sad? To have an abundance available to us and still end up staying starved. But I'm afraid folks are doing that today. And there were four leprous men at the entering in of the gate. And they said one to another, "Why sit we here until we die? If we say we will enter into the city, then the famine is in the city, and we shall die there. If we sit still here, we shall die also. Now therefore come and let us fall into the host of the Syrians. If they save us alive, we shall live. And if they kill us, we shall but die." These four lepers were desperate.
Yes.
Dying of starvation. So they decided they were going to put out that extra effort that we heard about last night. So they rose up in verse 5 in the twilight to go into the camp of the Syrians. And when they were come to the uttermost part of the camp of Syria, behold, there was no man there. For the Lord had made the host of Syrians to hear the noise of chariots and a noise of horses, even the noise of a great host. And they said one to another, "Lo, the king of Israel hath hired against us the kings of the Hittites and the kings of the Egyptians to come upon us." Wherefore they arose and fled in the twilight, and left their tents and their horses and their asses, even the camp as it was, and fled for their life. And when these lepers came to the uttermost part of the camp, they went into one tent and did eat and drink and carried thence silver and gold and raiment and went and hid it, and came again and entered into another tent and carried thence also and went and hid it. You notice the very first thing these starving men did? They got their stomachs full. I imagine they ate until it hurt. And then they took care of some other things. They started hiding away some silver and some gold.
Yes.
But then they got to thinking about this land of plenty and the fact that there were other people that were starving. Verse 9, "Then said they one to another, We do not well. This day is a day of good tidings, and we hold our peace. If we tarry till the morning light, some mischief will come upon us. Now therefore, come that we may go and tell the king's household." So they came and called unto the porter of the city, and they told him, "We came to the camp of the Syrians, and behold, there was no man there." Verse 14, "They took therefore two chariot horses, and the king sent after the host of the Syrians, saying, Go and see. And they went after them unto Jordan, and lo, all the way was full of garments and vessels, which the Syrians had cast away in their haste. And the messengers returned and told the king. And the people went out and spoiled the tents of the Syrians. So a measure of fine flour was sold for a shekel, and two measures of barley for a shekel, according to the word of the Lord." The Lord has provided food in abundance, but we're going to have to make an effort. We're going to have to be willing to go to the place where the Lord would have us go to receive our fill of good food. I thought about saints' children growing right up among the saints, listening to the preaching of God's Word, perhaps their hearts being touched by anointed singing, being taught by Sunday school teachers all this rich spiritual food, growing right up among the saints in a godly home, parents being examples before them. The father telling the son, "Son, you don't have to go out like those other boys. You don't have to go out and get yourself addicted to drugs. You don't have to go chase the girls and drink and get yourself in trouble. Daughter, you don't have to have a life of heartbreak. You can have a life of abundance. A life of happiness. A life of joy." In Psalms 1, it tells us of the righteous man being like the tree planted by the river of water, and his leaf doesn't wither. That's the way it is when we find this abundance that God has provided for us. But it is so sad to me to watch saints' children growing up and going out into the land of starvation.
Yes.
Right in the midst,
that's right,
of the land of plenty.
Amen.
Leaving behind all those things that could have made their lives so fulfilling and so rich. Son, you don't have to do that.
Yes.
Daughter, I love you.
Yes.
I don't want to see you go that way.
Yes.
You can have a happy life. You can be free from all the addictions of sin.
Yes.
The song says, "I can see far down the mountain where I wandered weary years." Did you know sin makes people weary?
Yes.
Oh, it's tiring. People come home at night from a night on the town, and they feel like they had a good time, had some fun. But oh, it makes the soul weary. There is a sadness there. There is a deep weariness that nothing can satisfy. It's something that is a result of spiritual starvation. And meanwhile, there is a land of plenty waiting for each one of us. I can see far down the mountain where I wandered weary years, often hindered in my journey by the ghosts of doubts and fears, broken vows and disappointments, thickly sprinkled all the way. How has it been in the land of starvation? Have there been some disappointments? Have you vowed to yourself and to God, I'll never do it again?
Oh, yes.
And found yourself out doing the same thing again? Let me tell you, there's a land of plenty.
Yes.
You don't have to stay in a starved state, but the Spirit led unerring to the land I hold today. Sometimes I notice people that are in a place of starvation, and I want to reach out to them. I want to be friendly to them. And I may say, "How are you doing today?" And I'll get a grumpy, "I'm here." And maybe this is a person that ought to have every reason to be happy. Maybe it's a young person. When we're young, we ought to be carefree. We ought to be full of joy of life, full of energy.
Yeah, yeah.
We ought to be enjoying life.
Yeah.
Well, sometimes I know we have to face difficult situations. Sometimes there are great hurts that come. But it doesn't have to be from all of our sins. But these people, sometimes they'll just say, "I'm here." You know, that's a place of starvation. We don't have to just be here. We can live a life of abundance and joy. There are richer treasures that we can have in our life. In Pilgrim's Progress, Interpreter took Christiana and her company into a room where there was a man that could look no way but downward, with a muckrake in his hand. There was also one standing over his head with a heavenly crown in his hand, and offered him that crown in exchange for his muckrake. Mm-hmm. But the man did not look up or pay attention, but raked to himself straws, the small sticks, and dust of the floor. Look up. I have a crown of eternal life. I have a life of plenty for you. I have happiness. I have joy. I have healing for your heartache. I see you're starving. Here, look up. But no, he keeps raking around in the muck. Give me a little bit more time. Let me enjoy this trash. I'm raking to myself a little bit longer. Let me have a few more hangovers. Let me have some more disappointments. Let me gather a little more fun and pleasure. The interpreter explained, the man's muckrake shows his carnal mind. You can see him raking up straws and sticks and the dust of the floor rather than do what he says that calls him from above with the heavenly crown in his hand. This shows that heaven is just a fable to some, and that the things of this world are counted as the only things substantial. Just as the man could look no way but downward, earthly things, when they have power over men's mind,
yes, right,
carry their hearts away from God.
That's true, yeah.
But the song says, I am drinking at the fountain, where I ever would abide. For I've tasted life's pure river, and my soul is satisfied.
Yeah.
Are you satisfied tonight? Or are you in a place of spiritual starvation? A place where you're just craving something better, and you can't find it. It says there's no thirsting for life's pleasure, nor adorning rich and gay. For I found a richer treasure, one that fadeth not away. Have you found that tonight? Is your life full of richness and happiness? There are people in Africa that are starving to death. It's heartbreaking. These folks, many of them, their main diet is corn. And they would love to have a little rice to go along with their corn. And then, here in America, we may open the door to a full pantry. Mm-hmm. And look in the full pantry and say, we don't have anything to eat in this house.
Lord, help us.
In a land of plenty. And then there are folks that are starving to death. May God help us that we appreciate the plenty, whether it's the physical plenty or the spiritual plenty. Thank God for it. Let us appreciate it. Let us partake of it. There are people that are on the street today, homeless, destitute, that have college educations. That once had nice homes, nice cars, families. But they allowed an addiction in their lives. And as a result of this addiction and going down and down in the spiral of this addiction, they ended up losing it all. Starving in a land of plenty. Isn't it sad? You could have finished out your life with something nice. That beautiful wife God gave you. Those beautiful children. That good job. You could have held on to those things. But they chose a land of starvation when they had plenty being offered to them. I know that sometimes we have great financial reverses. Sometimes there are things we cannot avoid. And I'm not saying all people on the street are there by choice. But I believe that some of them are there because they chose addiction. Starving in a land of plenty. I want to share an article with you that showed up in the New York Times about 100 years ago. Rich, yet starves to death. Aged Cleveland woman lived squalidly to hoard her money. in Cleveland, January the 7th, 1910. This article. The death from starvation of Mrs. Susanna Drum, 76 years old, at the city infirmary last night brought to light that for 2 years past she had lived in a small, squalid, windowless room, clothed herself in rags, and finally starved herself to death in order to save every penny within her grasp. On December 29th, on the complaint of neighbors, she was taken before probate judge Hayden to be examined as to her sanity. Does it ever make you wonder if people are sane? I can see far down the mountain where I wandered weary years. People that have tasted salvation, people that have enjoyed the milk and honey in their own souls, and they throw it away and choose starvation instead. She was supposed to be penniless, but after her death, a cloth bag around her neck was found to contain $150 in bills, two bank books showing deposits of several thousand dollars, and a mortgage on a farm at Burton, Ohio. Now, bear in mind, this woman died of starvation. At the infirmary, the dying woman hinted about wealth in a trunk in her room and also told of a will there made in favor of her brother. This was thought to be the talk of a demented woman, but last night it was found that the trunk had been broken into and rifled. Now, this was over 100 years ago. $1,000 back then would be worth about $82,000 today at a 4.5% interest rate. This woman had several thousand dollars in the bank. So take $82,000 and multiply it several times. She could have had steak every night. A land of plenty, but died of starvation. Do you ever wonder how people can starve spiritually when the God of heaven has provided every grace? The song says His grace is as free as the air we breathe. And people will starve to death spiritually. Matthew chapter 7. Matthew 7 and 9. What man is there of you whom if his son asks bread, will he give him a stone? Or if he asks a fish, will he give him a serpent? If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father, which is in heaven, give good gifts, good things to them that ask Him? Our Father in heaven owns the cattle on 1,000 hills.
Yes.
He has everything we need in life.
Yes.
To make us happy, to make us fulfilled. We don't have to go out and look in a land of starvation to find fulfillment in life. How is it with you tonight? Are you satisfied in your soul? Do you feel peace and comfort every day? Or is there a deep longing, a deep dissatisfaction with life? When we slide backwards, when we move farther away from God, that's bringing on spiritual starvation.
Yes.
And then when we commit sin, it brings spiritual death. How is it with you tonight? Even if you are saved, have you been in a dry time in your life? A place where you're feeling like I'm weak, I'm hungry? I want to tell you, the Lord has all that we need. He has a land of plenty.
Yes.
Amen.
Isaiah 55. Isaiah 55 and 1, Ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters. And he that hath no money, come ye, buy and eat, yea, come buy wine and milk without money and without price. Do you not have a way to purchase satisfaction in life? To make your life complete and happy? None of us do. But he says there is not a price. We can come and partake of what the Lord has for us. Those of us that are thirsty.
Yes.
If you're in sin tonight, I know you're thirsty. I know what it's like to be a sinner. It leaves you craving, desiring peace, desiring satisfaction. It leaves you thirsty. But the invitation tonight is everyone. That includes me. That includes you. Every one of us that has that thirst of the soul, the Lord invites, come and drink. I'm not going to charge you for it. I'll fill you to abundance.
Yeah.
The Scripture says, Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled.
Yeah.
Aren't you glad that that promise is true?
Maybe.
I believe it. Lord, I want you. I want to be filled with you. I want your righteousness.
Yes.
And the Lord will grant that desire.
Amen.
Verse 2, Wherefore do ye spend money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which satisfieth not? Hearken diligently unto me, and eat ye that which is good, and let your soul delight itself in fatness.
Yeah.
Why are you spending your money, your time, your life's energy for the things that will not satisfy? Instead, eat what the Lord has for you. It'll bring a happiness, a completeness in your life, a satisfaction that you'll go to bed tonight at night and be at peace. You won't have to worry about a guilty conscience. You won't have to worry about whether or not somebody guns you down. You can be at peace. Why spend time, money, our life on the things that do not satisfy? Some people don't have a choice physically on whether or not they starve to death. There have been little children that have starved to death. No choice of their own. There have been older people in the family that during a time of drought and starvation, or crop failure maybe it was, that they deliberately starved to death so that the younger ones could eat. In a sense, that wasn't much of a choice either. There are people who starve and don't have any choice. But if you starve spiritually, it's because you chose to starve. If your life is a life that is void of satisfaction, that is not fulfilled and happy and complete, it's because you chose that. Because the Father in heaven has provided a land flowing with milk and honey. He has provided a place of plenty for each one of us. In Revelation chapter 3, Revelation 3 and 17, Because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods, and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and blind and naked, I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear, and anoint thine eyes with eye salve that thou mayest see. People are saying, I'm rich. I'm having fun. I'm enjoying life, and really they are starving spiritually.
Yeah.
Really they are miserable. You ever wonder why so many celebrities go through divorces? Go from one companion to the next? to the next, and sometimes commit suicide? Well, they have beauty, they have fame, they have money, they travel the world. What else could a person want? And they are in a place of starvation in a land of plenty. They're not taking advantage of the plenty of God's blessings, of His goodness. They're missing it. And there are so many other people tonight that are starving. Yes, maybe they have the looks. Maybe they have the position on the job. Maybe we feel a little envious. But doesn't the Scripture tell us not to envy the wicked?
That's right.
It is a place of starvation. But God has provided a land of plenty. Like the leper said, it is a day of good tidings. It's a day of good news.
Amen.
We don't have to starve.
No.
We can be filled. We can be satisfied and happy. We can have rich lives.
Amen.
If there's anyone that's thirsty, maybe just a little bit dry, maybe a little bit hungry spiritually, the Lord has a table of plenty for every one of us. Amen.